This morning we are continuing our series in the Gospel according to Matthew. If you'd like to turn to Matthew 12 as we read God's Word together, as you turn there, I remind you that we believe the Bible to be inerrant. It is our only infallible rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the Word of our God will stand forever. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. We'll read the first 8 verses of Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, beginning at verse 1, hear the word of the Lord. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Holy Spirit, we ask that you would draw close to us as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed. We ask that the word of faith would be on our lips and in our hearts, that all other words would slip away. May we hear one voice today, the voice of truth and grace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may remember back in our early weeks in the Gospel of Matthew, and particularly as we were looking at the Sermon on the Mount, we made a repeated point, and I think Matthew keeps coming back to this, that the Pharisees were poster children for obedience to the law. You have to give them credit for that, that their master passion in life is obedience. But we know at the time of Matthew's writing, in the couple centuries following, they were in the process of codifying this vast legislative superstructure in an attempt to make a rule for every situation in life that you can possibly imagine. By the 3rd century, which is just a couple hundred years after this, but this is already in process, the Mishnah, that is the Pharisaic rule book, was 800 pages translated into English. And then you had these commentaries, the Talmuds, the Jerusalem Talmud, 12 printed volumes, the Babylonian Talmud, commentary on this legislation, 60 printed volumes, thousands and thousands of commands, thousands and thousands of prohibitions. It was just this heartbreaking, oppressive, nitpicking burden, what we might call today legalism. They codified how many steps you could walk, particularly when it came to the Sabbath. How many words you could write. How much food you could take out of storage without breaking the Sabbath. A rule for everything. And you remember at the end of chapter 11 last week, Matthew closes the chapter by telling people, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That is a direct rebuke to the common interpretations of the law, to this heartbreaking, oppressive body of legislation, this nitpicking legalism. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle." And in contrast to that, I am gentle. And you'll find rest for your souls. I mentioned the verse in chapter 23 of Matthew. Let me just read it one more time, because I do think this is exactly what Jesus has in mind. And in Matthew 23, he's going after the Pharisees throughout the gospel, but in Matthew 23, it's brutal. In Matthew 23, describing the Pharisees, just one verse. We'll look at this, Lord willing, when we get to it in another month or two. Matthew 23, verse 4, he says about the Pharisees, they tie up heavy burdens. You see the contrast there between the heavy yoke and his yoke. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. That's legalism. And in contrast to that, he says, come to me if you've been burdened by legalism. Come to me if you've been burdened by religious leaders and their interpretation of the law, and I will refresh you. And then we move into chapter 12, our passage this morning. And Jesus' battle with the religious leaders continues. It is heating up here. It is heating up here. And the subject in the passage this morning, where it comes to a head again, and it's going to continue to come to a head, is the subject of the Sabbath. It says in verse 1, at that time, after he's just told them, my yoke is easy. If you're burdened, if you're heavy laden, come to me. My yoke is easy. And at that time, chapter 12, verse 1, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain to eat. So they're walking through the grain fields. It happens to be Saturday, the day of the Sabbath in the Old Testament. And the disciples are hungry. Okay, they start to pluck heads of grain and eat them. That was perfectly legal to do. There are several Old Testament passages, Leviticus and Deuteronomy, that say it's perfectly legal to skirt the edges of a field, even if it's not yours. You can't go bring enough to store up in your silo. You can't go harvest the field, but it's fine to go through as an individual and pluck, eat a little lunch, take a little sustenance. And the Pharisees are watching. The Pharisees see it, verse 2. Even that little phrase, I read that as just classic legalism. Always watching down those long pointed noses. I'm going to get you this time. Taking notes. They're watching. They see this. And the issue for the Pharisees is not that they're plucking some grain. That's legal for a person to take a little lunch. But in the Pharisees' eyes, the problem is they do this on the Sabbath. And so they engage Jesus in this accusatory fashion. Your disciples are doing what's not lawful on the Sabbath. They had interpreted God's law in such a way that they thought what these men were doing was out reaping a harvest, harvesting a field. They're not. They're just taking a few heads for lunch, we might say. They're not harvesting a field. They're not working on the Sabbath. It's a ridiculous interpretation. They're satiating their hunger. In fact, Jesus doesn't directly say this, but I think you can kind of draw this conclusion. I think this is where he's going. I think you can make a good case that they, by doing this, they were resting. That it would have been less restful for them to not have eaten and to go hungry. They're just eating lunch. And I love the way Jesus phrases this. And this is classic. He does this two times in our passage this morning. There are six times in Matthew's gospel where he uses a variation of this of some sort. He asks them the question, have you not read? Now, put yourself in the shoes of a Pharisee if you can for a moment. It's easy to do. Have you not read the Bible? Of course they've read the Bible. They've read the Bible a thousand times, maybe. They've memorized the Bible. You can just feel when he asks this question that their blood is starting to boil. Their temperatures are just rising. I mean, things are coming to a head here. Jesus knows they know the Old Testament scriptures. Of course they know it. The problem is they didn't understand it. The problem is they misinterpreted it. And so Jesus, in our passage, gives them two stories as teaching tools. Two stories. First, He asked them if they've read the story of David, and particularly the story of David where in 1 Samuel, where David is fleeing for his life from Saul. We looked at it a couple years ago. 1 Samuel 2, he says in verse 3 of our passage, he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? And those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests." You remember David? He went to the tabernacle. He's fleeing for his life. He goes in. The priest, he takes the holy bread. That's the 12 loaves of bread that represent the 12 tribes in God's covenant with the 12 tribes. They're baked. They're placed in the tabernacle each Lord's Day, each Sabbath, as an offering. It's only to be eaten by the priest. That's true. And on the surface, yeah, this just like Jesus says, this was something that typically was not lawful. On the surface, yes, it looks like a scandal. And technically, it was unlawful for David to eat it. But Jesus' point is the scripture did not condemn him. God did not condemn him. The law, and particularly related to the holy bread on the Sabbath, was intended to serve God's people. It's backwards to say that God's people were intended to serve the law. Jesus is demonstrating to them in this first example, the Sabbath was made for the benefit of man. In fact, in the parallel passage in Mark, that's exactly how Mark phrases Jesus' words. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It wasn't some rule that was designed to hurt people. It's a rule that's designed to help people. It's to be a blessing. It's to be a rest. It's to be a day of worship. Yes, the standard under normal circumstances was that only the priests were allowed to eat this special food. But in order for David to survive, in order for David to live, in order for David to be strengthened as he's fleeing from his life, an exception was made. And this ceremonial law was not intended to suffocate people. It was not intended to starve people. It was to be a blessing. Same thing with the Sabbath, a day of rest, one day out of every week. That's a great law from God. Wonderful blessing. Problem again, these Pharisees had so twisted it. They had added so many rules and regulations, they made it a burden. What's the problem with the Pharisees? I think what Jesus is getting at here, this might be how we put it today, they focus on the letter of the law at the expense of the intent of the law. They've got it backwards. Or we might say, more colloquially, they miss the forest for the trees. They are so obsessed with the thousands of trees. They miss the bigger picture. They get it backwards. They turn a law that is to be a blessing to people into a burdensome curse to people. That's his point. He gives one more story. Another reference to the Old Testament, verse 5. "Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guilty? Guiltless, sorry. The priests in the temple, they work every day, but on the Sabbath day, it's a particularly busy day. It is for a priest. But Jesus says they're guiltless. They're working on the Sabbath. They work hard on the Sabbath. I will never forget, I heard a pastor say, this has probably been 25 years ago. He said, "I thank God there's only one Sunday a week or I would die." Pastor Bowers works extra hard on the Lord's Day. Pastor Collins works extra hard on the Lord's Day. Pastor Chris works extra hard on the Lord's Day. That's okay. There are exceptions to the rules. And God says, "I held them guiltless. They had to do what they're called to do." And here's the shocking punchline. He says in verse 6, I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. Again, put yourself in the shoes of these Pharisees. Something greater than the temple is here. The temple. That's the house of God. That's the heartbeat of Old Testament religion. That is the mercy seat. That's where God meets with his people, dwells with his people, tabernacles with his people. That is the heartbeat of Old Testament religion. That is the heartbeat of Pharisaic religion. And Jesus says, something greater than the temple is here. The implication, too, something greater than the Sabbath is here. The implication in the first story, something greater than even great David is here. That's a shocking claim. And then he goes on to quote Hosea 6:6. He says in verse 7, and if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. If you knew what God meant, Jesus is laying, this is the bottom line. Jesus is laying down an interpretive principle. And the interpretive principle is it's more important to express love and mercy than it is to fulfill some ceremonial religious obligation, especially if it's been poorly interpreted to begin with. Love. Love. Mercy. God looks at a right heart more than he cares about ritualistic precision. That is the point. That was the point driving the whole Sermon on the Mount. The day was to be a day for worship and rest, not a day of bondage, and they had made it a day of bondage. And Jesus is simply pointing out, you've got it backwards. That's a poor interpretation based on a poor interpretive principle. And then he says in verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Who are you, Jesus, to tell these Pharisees that they've interpreted the law wrong? Who are you, Jesus, to tell us how to truly understand things like the temple and the Sabbath and how these relate to you? Jesus says, I'll tell you who I am. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I am the final authority over God's law. This is just another unambiguous claim to divinity. I think the warning for us this morning is that the spirit of Phariseeism is alive and well. We don't have Pharisees technically today, but the legalistic spirit is something we all need to be on guard for. I've heard many testimonies in this congregation of people that grew up in very legalistic church backgrounds and the scars that remain because of that. I've often heard it said, we are all recovering Pharisees. I think that's true. It's so easy to miss the forest for the trees. It's so easy to major on the minors. It's so easy to take the things that God has given us, to take the commands that God has given us and that he's given us for our blessing and turn them into the strict, restrictive, heartbreakingly oppressive rule list. God gave the Sabbath as a wonderful blessing for his people. And Jesus says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. And ultimately, that's the message of the New Testament. And you see this in the Gospels. You see that in our passage this morning. You see that in Hebrews 4 in particular. If you have some time this afternoon or this week, go read Hebrews chapter 4. That in Christ, crucified and risen, we have eternal rest. We have communion with God. We have a yoke that is easy and a burden is light because he carries it for us. And we can rest in Christ from our labor of self-sufficiency. We can rest in Christ from our labor of self-righteousness. And we can rest in Christ and have eternal access to the Father. That is the message of the Lord's table. I'm going to ask the men to come forward and